Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. On behalf of Astaldi, I'd like to thank you for coming here for the presentation of the strategy plan 2016-2020. We shall start with a brief introduction by our chairman, Paolo Astaldi, and then we shall illustrate the strategy plan that will be done by the CEO, Filippo Stinellis, and then Marco Cauci-Molara, who is head of group strategic planning and control, and CEO Astaldi Concessioni will present the results of Q1. At the end, we shall have a Q&A session. At this point, I'd like to hand you over to Mr. Paolo Astaldi. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for joining us here. You are here in a high number, and this is very reassuring for us. We were kind of desperate because of the bad weather, and I said, well, with this bad weather, they are not going to the seaside or up in the mountains, so they will all be there waiting for us. A couple of words to introduce the strategy plan that we are going to illustrate today. As you can see, the images should already tell you something about our activity. Now, we tried to choose the most important works that we have completed and that we are at the moment building. They're all unique works in their own kind, and they testify to the fact that we can do our job very well. And for this reason, we decided that one of the pillars of the plan that we are going to illustrate is exactly this one. We have to start from our strong points. I believe that we have good capacity, good skills to build works. This is the biggest telescope that will be realized in China by an Italian consortium, a very important work. This telescope is not in China, but in Chile. You will also see the Batmobile. What does the Batmobile has to do with all this? Well, I was very surprised when I saw an ANSA newsreel. I read a bat car on one of our bridge. Yes, Turkish Airlines had decided to use the bat car traveling on our bridge for an advertising video. And so we thought it was interesting to kind of show you part of our work. So I'm saying this to introduce part of the concepts underlining our strategy plan. What are the pillars? First of all, a strong specialization. Well, this is the Batcar on one of our bridges, and they're very good, and Turkish people can do very nice things. So, as I was saying, a strong specialization. We shall focus on our capability to deliver products of very high quality. We want to build unique works in the world. We did this, we are doing this at the moment, and we shall do this constantly, because we believe that the difference between us and our competitors actually lies in the quality of the product that we can deliver. And then another pillar for development, i.e. growth, is going to be represented by foreign markets. The Italian market at the moment is giving us some weak signals of recovery, but perhaps these signals are too weak to base our growth and development only in our country. So in Italy, we shall rely on an opportunistic approach. I don't know whether we have news at the moment on the Brennero. No, this news will come in at 11 o'clock. I'm telling you this because wherever there are opportunities, we intend to grasp them. And the core of our growth will be achieved abroad. Then Mr. Stinellis will tell you about which countries we intend to focus on, but we have strengthened our team, and our growth will also go through a process of reorganization, i.e. a greater focus on our competence, on our quality, but also on the capability that we have to grasp the opportunities offered by foreign markets. Perhaps you have already read this, but we thought it was inevitable on our part, that of strengthening our position with someone that could really support us. Ambassador Valency decided to come and join us and help us in his capacity as vice chairman. He thought he was going to do something soft. On the contrary, now he realized that he has to do some hard work, but he is enthusiastic, and I'm sure he will work with a lot of enthusiasm and confidence. So as to the approach to the market, we here again decided to kind of focus increasingly on EPC contracts, and we shall have a different approach to concessions. Why this? Because our profits need to come mainly from the building of projects and from development fees when it comes to concessions. Because if we can close a concession contract, and if the work is done well, that work has to be paid and remunerated as it should. But then, you know, remaining constantly focused on a concession project with long times represented by construction, operating or operations, and following concessions, well, this is not compatible with a company like ours. We want to build works. We do not want to be concessionaires, and from now on, concessions will become lighter in our company. They will continue to be an important driver of our growth, but with a different perspective. We're looking for partners coming along with us, and the risk, of course, is on us, and we are ready to take upon ourselves this risk, but we would like to find partners that we can work together and with whom we can develop different initiatives. It is quite clear that if our growth relies on the construction of works, the lower the amount of capital that I can using concessions, the greater the capital I can use throughout the world to build works. And then third pillars, disposals or asset disposals. Here again, the approach changes slightly. I'm sure you read something about this. We have already started to do this, and we told you we were going to do this, and we are doing it. We will not stop here. We have some other opportunities, and let me say that what I am telling you is we like to do things first, and then we like to disclose information to the market. So we will be disclosing and informing you what we are going to do. But the approach here is going to be different. Up to last year, you heard us speak of enhancing the value of concessions. Well, this is something natural and obvious. But then this concept has to be placed into the reality of companies that work in the industry. As I told you, we are a construction company, and following a path that allows us to enhance the value of concessions, well, this is not compatible with what we want to do. And here again, we are placing onto the market the stakes of greenfield projects that we have under concessions. We have negotiations ongoing at the moment, and we hope that we will announce soon the conclusion of some of these deals. Now, Now here you can see part of the team, management team of Astaldi. I wanted them to come here because I wanted you to see them physically, because these are the people who will have to implement the strategy plan, which is going to be illustrated by Mr. Filippo Stinellis. So I'll hand you over to Mr. Stinellis, and I hope you'll have a nice day. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for being here.
So, first of all, yes, we just received the news that we have been provisionally awarded the tender for the construction of the Brennero Tunnel. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for your kind words. You've seen that car, but this is it with the special effects, and we have to go back to reality and talk about our strategy plan. We're going to show you a number of snapshots of pictures. You have already seen them, and they show our ability of building and developing large-scale infrastructures. But as you can see on the first, on the cover slide, you see the picture of our observatory that we are developing in Chile. Why is it so? Because, again, our refocusing will go through, as you're going to hear in a minute, we go through focusing on EPC contracts, where more parties can be involved, because at the time of the tender, we want our know-how and our skills and expertise to be enhanced and recognized, and not just the lowest price. So in such tenders, the lowest price is not the winning card. It's less relevant than the skills, the know-how, and the expertise of the bidders. And this observatory in Chile is a case in point. We have a number of tenders that we are being awarded, for instance, the construction of the Brennero Tunnel. We are ranking first among the bidders for the Dubai subway, and then there are other tenders that will be soon awarded, and we'll be updating you appropriately. But why the observatory? Why the picture of the observatory? Because it is, embodies what the company is living through. It is a time where we are actually breaking partially with the past and focusing on our know-how and skills. It is a complex project, which, however, allows you to look forward, but look forward to something that is real. This is exactly what we have done when developing our business plan or strategy plan. And what are the main pillars of our 2016-2020 strategy plan? First of all, sustainable growth, strengthening of our financial structure, and then the third pillar, which is actually the pivot pillar. I mean, these are three pillars that are closely related one with the other, but the third pillar is perhaps the most important one, because everything revolves around it, the strengthening of our organizational structure. I'm not telling you that our organizational structure was not strong enough in the past, but because of the new approach we have taken up, we needed to strengthen our organization in some areas in particular. And then sustainable growth. As already pointed out, we're going to refocus our business on EPC contracts, favoring those contracts where, again, tenders imply, again, focusing on the know-how and expertise of the bidders. And then we're going to take up a new approach to concessions. And here I will be referring also to the strengthening of our financial structure. Why? Because we were certainly going on investing on concession projects, but only if they match our financial structure. And we'll be adopting a different approach. For instance, at the Santiago de Chile Airport, where we have a minority stake for the SPV, I mean, in the special purpose vehicle, so we invested a limited amount of time, money, but we have a major stake in the construction stage of the project. So this is a completely different approach versus the past. Astaldi can boast a major geographical diversification. So we have a wide geographical footprint. We have managed to live through difficult times in a number of markets, but we currently, we have 85% of our revenues generated abroad. And I can tell you that Italy, for all the reasons that are well known to all of you, and I'm not going to spend too much on this, is currently accounting between 15 and 70% of our revenues. So our geographical footprint is one of the strengths of our group. And then, as I already pointed out, we're going to focus on strengthening our financial structure that goes through mainly debt reduction, leverage reduction. Leverage reduction means, first of all, disposing of our assets under concession. We already announced the disposal of A4 Holding, and I would like to refer back to what our president just said. We have a clear, well-devised plan of asset disposal. We've been repeatedly told by some of you as well in this room that we announced it in the past and then we didn't deliver on our promises. Well, it was a complex process and time-consuming one. We first considering disposing of our assets through a fund, then it turned out to be not the right solution. But then we set up a task force dedicated to asset disposal exclusively. And as you're going to see, this is going to be a priority, and the disposal of A4 Holding is a first example of our commitment to the disposal plan we have drafted. And then we're going to focus on our working capital optimization. We have set up a dedicated task force to making our working capital more efficient. We are currently at 24% of revenues. We aim at reaching 20% of revenues in 2020. And then we'll be paying the utmost attention to our CAPEX. So we'll be certainly going on investing on concession projects, but using the new approach, and only if this project matches our financial structure. And we'll be devoting the same attention to all the other investments in the construction field. Pointless to say that we are a leading global player in infrastructure, and you can see the various rankings that have been reported here. We have built the third bridge on the Bosphorus River, which is the longest, but above all, the widest worldwide, because it also accommodates the railway. We have developed the Izmit bridge. We are among the top contractors for the development of motorways and highways. So our business diversification is also a strength for us. We operate in infrastructures, but also in civil works, in the hydroelectric power area. We have a plant design and maintenance company. So, as I said, we have focused so much on business diversification to achieve all this. And then we never forget the past, because you might remember that the growth of our revenues over the past decade comes from the concession projects, large-scale concession projects, that are still providing us with some returns today. Both projects that are generating dividends and the others that we are currently disposing of at a higher price than the book value. So, again, we can rely on these main pillars. And again, going back to such pillars, as I mentioned, sustainable growth, and as you're going to see in a minute when going through the main milestones of our strategy plan, between 2016-2020, we are going to report an average growth rate of 7%. As I said, we're going to focus on EPC contracts and going forward, and we want to focus on our core business going forward. That is to say, developing large-scale projects, focusing mainly on these tenders where the lowest price is not considered the most important factor. And these tenders generate contracts that provide efficient or enhanced cash flow they provide, because they generally imply advance payments, and then they provide very interesting financial milestones, making such projects almost self-sufficient from a financial point of view, so they don't drain cash from the company. And then these projects really enable us to put in place our best know-how and expertise. And then we're going to focus on the so-called capital-light new concessions. This is our new approach. Again, we will take up or invest a small stake in the special purpose vehicles, but that will have a greater stake in the final stage of the project, that is the construction stage. As you can see, in 2006, 96% of our revenues were generated by traditional contracts. Then in 2015, we managed to strike a balance between the two. So out of the 3 billion revenue, 50% roughly was generated by EPC contracts related to projects under concession. And please remember that this new approach enabled us to have a stable margins, because clearly not having to rely on the lowest price possible, we can have stable margin streams. And then, as you can see, in 2015, 47% was generated by traditional contracts. What we are aiming at, and we have mentioned 2018 here, just to give you an idea of the direction we're going to follow. So in 2018, we aim at having 40% of our revenues generated by the traditional contracts and 60% generated by EPC contracts. So our strength, and you are already aware of it because some of you have been following us for many years. So one of our major strengths, as I said, is our geographical footprint and geographical diversification. We operate in countries with a GDP that is constantly growing. These are countries with very dynamic economies. We have strengthened our position in countries like North America, Canada, Chile. We have been operating in Turkey for more than 30 years, three decades, and these are all countries that have very lively economies, very much focused on development of infrastructures, and these are low-risk countries as well. But we are also looking at new geographies. We are considering interesting opportunities in countries that are developing infrastructures, and I'm referring to Iran, Vietnam, Cuba, and Indonesia. In Indonesia, actually, we are already developing a project. So this is a geography we are already familiar with. We have already scouted the market there. We know what the peculiarity of this market are. We have already an organization there. We are considering a wide range of projects in Iran. Iran, I say, is a very interesting market for us because there's a bilateral agreement between the Italian government and the Iranian government. So this is a kind of guarantee for us. And then, as you're going to see in the next few slides, when drafting our strategy plan, I sometimes call it a business plan, but it is actually a strategy plan more than a business plan. So in our strategy plan, we did not factor in additional projects in Russia because we currently already have two ongoing projects in Russia, and we haven't factored in any additional project in Venezuela because in Venezuela we actually had to stop our operations, and therefore in our strategy plan we did not consider any contribution coming from either Venezuela or Russia. And I've already met with some of you on a number of one-to-one meetings, and I've received, almost always the same questions. So for the sake of transparency, which I believe has always been one of my distinctive features, I will be try and answer some of the questions that I'm sure will be asked today as well. First and foremost, Canada. I'm not going to bore you with all the details because I believe you're all familiar with what happened with Canada. We had a difficult startup there. We had to rely exclusively on local labor force with a low productivity. So anyway, just to update you, we are carrying on negotiations with a client there. The client acknowledged that the productivity levels achieved there are the highest possible in Canada, and they are more than appropriate for our project. So we have made our processes more efficient there, and this has been acknowledged, of course, by the client. But the productivity there is lower than in other projects and in other parts of the world. So, as I said, our account, our client has acknowledged this, also because this is not a problem that Astaldi is experiencing only. There are also other contractors that are involved in the project, because the Muscat Falls is a $7 billion worth of project, and we only account for, let's say, minor share of it, though meaningful one. Anyway, negotiations are ongoing. As you know, negotiations are never easy. They provide for reviewing the baseline, reviewing the contract terms and conditions. Then I must say that the project started under the worst conditions ever. So the startup was difficult. Then the political elections took place at the end of 2015, and the government changed. So we had to start discussing again with the new government. Narcore now has a new management team, and we are negotiating with them too. So I believe, and I'm confident that over the next few months, by the end of next summer, that we'll be able to complete such negotiations. We'll be keeping you posted anyway. Venezuela, I'm going to repeat what I've just said, but I think it's important to reiterate these points. As already pointed out, we haven't factored in our strategy plan any contribution to our revenues coming from Venezuela. Our construction yards are idle at the moment, which implies that we are not exposing ourselves to any additional risk in terms of receivables. Between 2014 and 2015, we have managed to neutralize the effect of the local currency denominated receivables, 36 million in 2014, 16 in 2015, so all in all 52 million euros. We currently only have receivables denominated in hard currency, roughly 250 million euros. We are currently discussing with the Venezuelan government. We are dialoguing with the Venezuelan government to try and recover these receivables. So these are all certified credits, so we are entitled to cash them in. Anyway, in 2016 and 17, we haven't factored in any contribution coming from these, let's say, receivables. So we didn't factor in the cash in of such receivables as far as Venezuela is concerned. Again, we have a bilateral agreement in existence between the Venezuelan government and the Italian government, so which is a kind of guarantee for us. So I believe this is it as far as Venezuela is concerned. I'll go back to Canada because Mr. Cauchi reminded me of something I didn't tell you. But I'm sure I told you in the past already that we managed to neutralize the margins as far as the Canadian project is concerned as well, because we are currently negotiating, and during negotiations you are clearly confronted with the counterpart that believes is right, while we believe we are right. But out of caution and we have decided not to consider any margin contribution from the Canadian project. We originally considered a 7% contribution, which is not there, and therefore this had a negative impact on our EBIT in 2015, and the same will happen going forward. So again, we've been very conservative. We have discussed this decision at length, but at the end we decided to go that way. We prefer to be conservative and then fully enjoy the margins that will be released at the end of the negotiations in the next few years. Then Turkey and Russia. there are no criticalities in such geographies. Our projects in Turkey in particular, and I must say I'm proud because I'm also interim general manager of Turkey, of our Turkish operations. In Turkey, we have managed to develop the largest projects ever developed in Turkey. I'm referring to the third bridge on the Bosphorus River, plus the 140 kilometers of highway. I mean, we tend to forget this part of the project, I mean, the motorway, but I really would like to see who's able to develop such a large-scale infrastructure project in 3 years. We have inaugurated the Izmir gas highway with another bridge, and then the Etlik Hospital in Ankara is one of the largest hospitals in Europe, 3,600 beds, and we have developed 20% of it. And we are following and monitoring the CAPEX plan of the Turkish government very closely. It's a very dynamic economy. We experience no difficulties whatsoever in developing these projects. The Turkish government is planning to invest $75 billion on infrastructures over the next next years, and we are considering being part of the development of the subway in Turkey too. So, coming to Russia, when I say Russia, we are mainly referring to Saint Petersburg, which is perhaps the most westernized area of Russia. So, we have completed the development of the Pulkovo International Airport in St. Petersburg, then the ring road of St. Petersburg. We are developing it, and here we have Mr. Bernardini, who is the general director of Europe and Russia, therefore. Consider that I was meant to introduce the various members of the management team. I'm sorry for Mr. Rotundi, who is the general director for the Americas and for Canada as well, therefore. But there's also Chile that is offsetting substantially the problems we are experiencing with Canada. Anyway, in Russia, we're still developing the ring road around St. Petersburg. It will be completed by fall next. And we started developing the M11 highway or motorway between linking St. Petersburg with Moscow. We didn't suffer any impact whatsoever deriving from the sanctions imposed on Russia. I mean, our workers are still working on our construction sites. Together with our general director or general manager, we decided, however, not to start a new project in Russia, but we are certainly scouting the opportunities on that market and we'll be ready to grasp them with, of course, a cautious approach. And again, back we are to one of the main pillars of our strategy plan, that is to say the strengthening of our organization, which means increasing our ability to offer better services to our clients. We can provide our clients with a wide range of services, like ranging from engineering to procurement and construction, thanks to our great know-how in this field. And then we can provide support for the financing of such projects, so we can really provide a wide range of services to our clients at global level. And what did we do to strengthen our organization? Considering our geographical footprint, considering our business diversification, we considered how to improve our, let's say, revenues, flows, and centralize the know-how of our group to then apply it to other areas where criticalities emerge, because clearly in our business, criticalities are always there. If they were not, we would need half of the headcount we have today. But being a constructor means also being able to face up to problems and solve them. This is why we have strengthened our industrial service division, where all our know-how is located: the procurement, project control, security, safety and quality, and so on and so forth. So the industrial know-how of the group lies there. We have transformed this division in a general directorate on industrial services. Here we have our general director heading this general directorate. This gentleman has been with Astaldi for many years, almost as many as I have been working for Astaldi. And the idea is that of having this directorate to support other areas during the startup of the projects, to implement our processes at the stage of startup of the project, but also during the development of the project, and therefore be able to implement our know-how and our expertise. Of course, this directorate carries out a kind of centralized control, so it does provide know-how to other areas, but it also monitors and controls other areas, because we believe it is always important to follow and monitor projects, both from a financial and economic point of view, also from a timetable point of view, and define a strategy altogether. Therefore, this is industrial services directorate, as we call it, because it is no longer a division. We believe it's of paramount importance. And here you see a slide that was meant to answer questions that have been repeatedly asked about our EBIT margin. So our ability to diversify our business and our geographical presence by developing large-scale projects. Again, as I said, we follow a very rigorous discipline when bidding for tenders, has led us to, again, be able to boost EBIT margins among the highest when compared with top-performing peers. So whenever we enter new geographies, we pay the utmost attention to the analysis of the country risk-related of the new countries we enter. And another key point of our 2016-2020 strategy plan is our order backlog that currently accounts for 29 billion euros, of which more or less, or roughly 11, account for options, including the Brennero Tunnel, the Chile Observatory. So these are called options, but just because we are pending the final signing of the contracts. But what is perhaps more interesting here is that almost 12 billion out of the 29 billion of our order backlog cover the whole portfolio that we have in place. Then 75% of our portfolio in 2017 and roughly 50% in 2018, and then it goes down progressively in 2019 and 2020 because we have a project that lasts on average 4 or 5 years. And again, during the year we can receive additional orders, and our book-to-bill ratio has always been above 1.1, with some fluctuations, of course, but we have always managed to be above 1.1 and closer to 1.3, and this is, again, another strength because this means that during the year we managed to receive additional orders and therefore making our margins stable.
And on this slide, you can see a very important summary of what I have said so far, considering the backlog, considering our new focus on our core business, these are the main items of our strategy plan. The figures that you see here in terms of EBITDA, core EBIT and EBIT consider also the disposal of concession assets. These are stable values, as you can see. These are figures that you know them quite well because we had already announced them. You can see core EBIT around 8% on average, EBIT around 10%, whereas EBITDA 11.5 on average. Now, I told you before that we intend to strengthen the capital structure of our group, and I want to repeat this because this is one of the goals on which we are focusing our attention in this moment. All of our organization is work on this, that is, that of disposing concession assets, rationalization of capex as well. Now, where do we see our future, considering that our financial strength will allowed to also take part in concessions with a new approach, which I'm not going to repeat it because otherwise we'll be boring you to death. We shall focus on EPC contracts with tenders that have different elements, a strong discipline on cap on the working capital. This is fundamental. Once the parameters of our financial structures have been strengthened, we shall also start working on debt reduction. But what is important is represented by objective data. As a matter of fact, we want to be able to achieve a net debt EBITDA ratio below 2. This at the end of the 5 year of the strategy plan 2020. That is, I'd like to focus your attention on a number of very important steps. Gross debt at the moment 1.9 billion euros, which will go down, as you can see, to 1.3 billion in 2018. So focusing on 2018 is very important, and the further reduction of our debt in 2020, when debt will be down to 1 billion. Another fundamental element is the reduction of the net debt or the financial position, as you can see, 989 in 2015, 750 in 2018, and 500 in 2020. So reduction by 50% at the end of the fifth year of our plan. And then, of course, we need to take into account the reduction of investments in concessions that you can see on the slide. These are data that you can look at. And if you have any question, of course, we shall take them at the end of the presentation. Now, as I was telling you before, when I talked about the program we have in mind to dispose concessions assets, the plan is well defined at the moment. We have a clear plan, and we have A4 holding that was supposed to be disposed in April or May, and this occurred, 110 million euros in 2016-2018. We intend to dispose of 450 million assets, of which 210 have already been cashed in, and then in 2018-2020, another 300 million euros. After the disposal of A4 holding, we are now negotiating the disposal of a hydroelectric plant in Chile, Chacayes, and over the next 3 years, we intend to dispose the asset of the M5 Metro in Milan. We are negotiating at the moment for the disposal of all of the Tuscany hospital concessions, and then we have the Turkey assets and the Mestre Hospital as well. This is a very clear plan, a very important plan, and it is under the control of our task force. Let me add something else to this. We also intend to dispose other assets concessions. We intend to focus on construction. So we have the Rieti Hospital and the Freiburg Hospital in Chile, where we have a major stake in the special purpose vehicle. During the construction, we are trying to get rid, to dispose of our stake in the SPV before the end of the construction works. Now, you know quite well that these are projects that we fully believed in, that we still believe in. We are on track as far as the disposal plan is concerned. Look at the IRR and the profitability index, which is quite relevant, perhaps not so much appreciated by the market. On the chart, you can see that after the first disposals, we believe that our market cap onto the market be enhanced or grow because of the good quality of these concessions. The good quality of the concession disposals, of course. Now, on this slide, you can see the reduction in capital expenditure, both in the concession industry, but the reduction of capex in general, also in the construction industry. You can see that between 2011-2015, €870 million, between 2016 and 2020, €650 million. But what is important is to look at concessions from 614 to €239 million. Between 260 and 220, we have projects that require equity contribution. And this is what we already expected to achieve. And then you can see potential capex. As I told you before, one of our pillars is still presented by assets we have under concessions, €320 million. But we shall release this if conditions materialize. And then a special attention on investments in the construction industry, therefore the related capex. As I said, we want to focus on the working capital. We set up a task force a couple of months ago. We're working hard to be able to release or to cash in credits that we have with the public administration. The government decree called Sblocca Italia has certainly sped up the credit recovery time. In Italy, we work with public bodies like ANSA or the Italian Railway, and we now have a government decree that helps us obtain credits more easily. Now, what is important is that by refocusing our business on EPC contracts, we are going to devote attention on projects that envisage some contract-related advances or down payments. And it is quite clear that over and above the contract-related down payments, these projects should have a contract cash flow, making this work become almost self-sufficient. And this is the program that we have in mind to reduce the working capital from 20% to below, from 24% to below 20%. Now, let me come to liquidity. I believe that our liquidity, which is at the moment around €1 billion, is adequate to support our strategy plan. This means that we do not have special requirements. We don't need further liquidity. So as you can see, liquidity is quite strong. It is focused within the or it is concentrated within the parent company. As you can see, we have credit lines with the banks, and the financial structures is well matched thanks to these credit lines with the banks, which amount to 57%. The rest comes from the market. As you can see, we have set a number of specific priorities in order to manage our treasury, and we launched a cash pooling project and in order to contain debt after the strengthening of our financial structure, we shall proceed with renegotiating the cost of our debts. On this slide, we have tried to give you a idea or give you a representation of what is at the moment our net financial position. Now, I told you that it amounts to 1 billion euros. In 2020, we want to bring it down to 500 million euros. There are a number of factors to take into account, the enhancement of margins and the release of contract margins, 500 million euros, investments in concessions, and then what we cash in from the concession concession assets, 750 million euros plus 100 million euros. So this is a clear sign that tells you how we want to move our financial position from 1 billion to 500 million euros. Now, I am almost at the end of my part of the presentation. Let me summarize very briefly what I told you so far. That is the main factors, the main pillars and the main goals of our strategy plan. First of all, we want to decrease debt with a net debt EBITDA ratio that has to go down below 2. And this will be achieved in our mind in 2020. And then sustainable growth with a special focus on our backlog. And then the shareholder remuneration dividend policy has always been around 20% payout ratio. So these are the main elements underlying the strategy plan. But with this very last slide of my presentation, let me show you what we have in mind when it comes to the strategy plan. Let me give you a very brief comment on this slide, because perhaps I forgot to tell you something during this part of the presentation, but don't worry, we shall have a Q&A, and you may ask your questions at the end. We have here all the management team that is available to provide you all of the necessary clarifications. Here you can see our current situation. Revenues at 2.9 billion euros, 2018 at 3.5 billion euros, 2020 4 billion euros. Then I told you, and I wanted to repeat this data on revenues, because they have been growing by 6.57%, different from our past projections. We believe that this is a sustainable growth going forward. Now, we expected a growth before around 10-11%. Now, we have decided to kind of decrease this growth rate, because this is the result of what we have in mind and what we are planning to do. Look at the EBITDA margin evolution, which is going to move from 9.7% at the moment, and then 10.3% in 2018 and 9.2% in 2020. Here again, we have to take into account the disposal of concessions assets that have an impact on EBITDA and EBIT, as you know. Now, the fundamental thing I mentioned before is net debt, which is going to go down from almost 1 billion at the moment to 750 million euros in 2018 and 500 million euros in 2020. I keep repeating these figures because this is part, fundamental part of our strategy. And then you can see the evolution of equity on the slide from 637 million euros to 900 to 1.1 billion euros. Let me mention something about the evolution of the backlog, which, you know, at a first glance, glance, it might appear not that relevant, but as a matter of fact, the backlog evolution considers the disposal of concessions asset. The growth of 1% includes also the disposal of concessions assets, which neutralizes basically the actual growth of our backlog. Now, this is it as far as the part of my presentation is concerned. These are the fundamental guidelines, the fundamental factors underlying our strategy plan. I know that you had the possibility to look at our presentation ever since yesterday. Our mission, our strategy is very clear. We, as a group, are recognized as the industry leader. We want to perceive a sustainable growth, and we want to have this sustainable growth to be supported by a strong financial structure, i.e. Reduction of debt. I'd like to thank you for your attention. At this point, I'll hand you over to the CFO, Marco Caucci, who is going to present and illustrate the Q1 2016 results. Thank you.
I'll be very, very quick because the quarterly results, as you already know, do not really mirror the nature of our business because, as you know, we are mainly working with long-term orders with an average time frame of 3-5 years. But anyway, we believe the Q1 2016 results confirm the trend that Mr. Sinelis already mentioned and that inevitably was the result of the new approach adopted. Total revenues are growing by roughly 4%, which is in line with the guidelines of our business plan that provides for 6-7% growth rate in the midterm. And this is a particularly important point because after two quarters, and this is what we are showing on this slide, after two quarters of dwindling revenues or dropping revenues that we tried and explained but was considered by the market as a weakness. But we wanted to make the market understand that it was just the result of two events that had occurred in those two quarters. And this is confirmed by the fact that revenues and margins are back growing again. Referring back to what Mr. Sinelli just said, referring to the EBIT core of 8%, that is the EBIT margin of our core business. Well, this is something we are confident about because the margins that will be generated over the next 3 years are generated by projects that are under development now. So the drop in revenues and therefore in margins that we experienced in the last two quarters of 2015 as a consequence of the Canadian project and as a consequence of the provisions made for the Canadian project in 2014 and in 2015. So such a trend has been reversed and we are back growing our margins again. And I would like to confirm that our approach to Canada in the first quarter of 2016 is again neutralizing margins coming from that project. You know how it works. We expect, of course, the negotiations with the Canadian client to be successful, and at that point we'll be able to factor in the margins related to that project again, because this project provides for roughly 300 million revenues per year, and this is what is missing in these figures now. I mean, the margins are related to that amount. And here, on the next slide, page 28, you see our order backlog. And the piece of news that we disclosed at the beginning of the presentation confirms what I'm going to say. So the activity that we're currently carrying out is in line with the new strategy that has been recently launched. So what you heard today is something that we are already executing and implementing. And I believe that another important point is that we are communicating constantly with the markets and disclosing this information to the markets on a regular basis, which should help the markets interpret these figures correctly. Anyway, as you can see, we have been focusing increasingly on EPC contracts that provide for advanced payments, that provide for financial milestones, and an appropriate management of milestones make such a project almost self-financing. And, of course, self-financing means also cash generating. So they generate cash to finance the project themselves. And I can tell you that all our short-term projects are of this kind, and as you're going to hear over the next few months, you see that all the projects that will be announced are perfectly in line with the strategy, and I'm referring certainly to the Brennero Tunnel, to the Observatory in Chile, but also to other contracts that, thanks to the expertise and the know-how of our group, and I'm particularly referring to the mining projects in Chile, make it possible to for the group to receive additional contracts on the top of these contracts we already have been awarded. And this, again, confirms that Astaldi is considered as a reliable and valuable partner for a wide range of projects. Unfortunately, here we made a mistake. The 7.2 in blue doesn't refer to concession options, but rather options, construction options. So, as you know, the construction options will drive our growth, as already pointed out. Moving on to the next slide, as you know, our business is very cyclical in nature. It's almost a quarterly business, if you will, because each and every project has its own distinctive features and its peculiarities. As you can see, capital employed follows the usual trend. As well as net working capital is concerned, net working capital increased early this year because of all the projects that were mentioned. For instance, optimization of working capital is a project that will be fully implemented as soon as we manage to apply our new approach to the contracts that we are going to obtain. If you look at this diagram, you see that our working capital is of a substantial amount, but if you consider what it was in September last, well, it was not different, which means that we have already done some progress as far as net working capital optimization is concerned. Then also consider that orders at the end of the year tend to absorb all the resources allocated. And we managed to cash in the outstanding credits. As you can see, our net financial position stands at 1.2 billion. We have put in place all the necessary actions to reduce our leverage. We expect cash or the proceeds of the disposal of A4 Holding in particular will materialize in the second half of the year, so you don't see any financial impact on the first quarter of 2016, nor will it be seen in the second quarter of 2016, but we expect it to materialize in the second part of the year. As I said, this is a transaction that will materialize as soon as we receive all the authorization by the antitrust authorities and other relevant authorities. And even though we have agreed on a staggered payment, we actually have resorted to a non-recourse type of factoring that will enable us to cash in the full amount one-off. This, in a nutshell, what happened in Q1 2016, and I believe Q1 2016 results mirror this strategy that has just been illustrated. We have decided to mention our 2018 targets as well, because we want to, again, measure our ability to implement our strategy on the grounds of short-term goals and not just short-term targets and not just long-term targets.
Well, thank you very much. At this point, we can start the Q&A sessions. If you have questions, we can take them in this moment. Thank you. Now, good morning, Balloni, Finetis. I have a few questions to ask, both on the strategy plan and on the quarterly results. First of all, cash generation, not so much in 2020, but let's say 2018. Your debt target, 750 million euros after disposal of concession assets of 450 million euros. Let's not start from the debt of the quarter, which is somewhat higher. Let's go back to the debt of last year, 1 billion euros. Calculations do not match with what you said. During the period, it appears that there is a cash absorption of around 100 million euros, if not more. So I'd like to know what this is. And then the last slide, I couldn't read all of the data of the quarterly results. Equity went down by 30 million. And debt equity ratio above 2. During the November conference call, you started to speak about renegotiating the covenants with the banks, and at the point the debt equity equal to 2 is part of the covenant. So I'd like to know how these negotiations are going, also in the light of the disposals that you have just announced. Okay, we will both answer your question. I'll start first. It is quite clear that with the banks we have negotiations ongoing, and we have illustrated the strategy plan, and the support of banks is fundamental. Let me answer, because the relationship we have with the banks is a relationship which is for us very important. Ever since September 2015, we renegotiated the covenants of December, and we continued to outline to them the strategy plan, and I believe that the definition of parameters will be completed within June. As to the debt and the quarterly results, I'll hand you over the CFO, who will give you some details, because there are a number of investments that we will be making in the year. Please remember that we have completed some projects. Some other projects have been refinanced, which do not require equity contribution, but like the ERIC project, ETRIC project, or the Santiago Hospital in Chile between 2016 and 2018, requires some equity contribution. Let me hand you over to Mr. Cauci, who will give you some details. Well, I think that your question was related to the fact that the disposals did not was not consistent with the change in the net financial position. Page 16 of the presentation, you see the gross financial position, which consider the evolution of the debt. The net financial position include the funding that we do the capitals of the projects. So the gross financial position is in line with 450 million euros of disposals, but if I cash in shareholder loans, of course this is then not captured within the net financial position. And so I'd like to use slide number 16 to follow the trend of gross disposals. We shall dispose equity stakes and semi-equity stakes, 800 million euros that we invested in December 2015. The second question you asked, and then, incidentally, you will receive the quarterly results where you will see the details and you will understand the change of the different items, among which net equity. Now, net equity in the period changed and also includes the changes in fair value of derivatives related to concessions. These are accounting rules that we have to follow. This is not a decrease in value of our equity, but let me focus on this factor. When it comes to measuring the ratios, debt over EBITDA or net equity over debt, which are important for banks to decide whether to issue loans, well, these parameters, remember, move also in line with interest rates. However, these are a guarantee for us because project companies have a certainty of the cost of debt, and because of accounting reasons, we need to capture the momentary changes in these parameters. In the quarter, we had a change of 30 million because of the change in interest rates, which could change going forward in the next quarters. Now, let me also tell you something about the technical measurement of our covenants. We are not here referring to the variables of our financial accounts. There is a net adjusted net equity and adjusted EBITDA and a adjusted the financial position, not the net financial position. It's very complex. I wouldn't be able to give you all the details of the calculations, but we're not referring to the financial account items to calculate the covenants parameters. I don't know whether I was clear. Now, another question about cash generation in the next 3 years. Without considering disposals and the impact of loans to subsidiaries, what is the average cash generation between 2016 and 2018? I'm speaking about free cash flow, operating cash flow, operating free cash flow net of CapEx. Well, perhaps slide 22 can be of help. In the five-year period, here you see the evolution of cash. As the CEO said, we have a meaningful growth of cash in construction. As you see here, FFO construction. The goal here is that of cashing in the economic results of construction projects. How do we do this? By containing investments and making sure that investments do not exceed amortizations, but also controlling working capital. So the goal of decreasing the working capital from 24% to 20% means making the working capital stable. And whatever then is generated in terms of revenues becomes cash. This is our goal. Of course, this is a mid-term movement, a mid-term dynamic. So in 2016, we will have to make some efforts, and we saw this in Q1. In June, we shall confirm it, and thereafter, we shall be able to cash in money from the disposals of concession assets. From there on, it will normalize, as we said, the contracts which cover 70% of future revenues. These are contracts that we know quite well. We have the cash flow figures well. We have clear the contract conditions and terms, and we set for ourselves very strict rules to control the working capital. Francesco Sala, Banca Akros. I have three questions to ask you. First of all, could you give us some short-term targets, let's say for 2016, for EBIT and net debt? And then second question, in Q1, I have seen growth in long-term debt. I wonder whether you had some new financing or funding, and what can we expect here when it comes to the evolution of long-term, or if short-term debt is going to be turned into long-term debt. And then I'd like to have your best-case scenario that you're currently using, meaning the difference between the budget that you set for yourselves and the cost that you incurred in. So how is this factored in your assumptions? So let me start from the last question, so that we then will be able to answer the others. Now, as I told you before, but let me add something else. Now, the project is 40% on track. There are some other elements which I'd like to, which I can't disclose at the moment because negotiations are ongoing, and the customer is cooperating to conclude the negotiations in the short term. What we have factored in our accounts relates to the neutralization of margins. So margins here are set to zero. I think this is very conservative, considering that we have our own reasons to do that. We don't think there are some other sources of concern. I think I have given you an exhaustive answer as far as Canada is concerned. In this stage, when negotiations are ongoing, we need to kind of keep certain information confidential. As to the 2016 targets, you can see from the slide the answer to your questions. 2015, 2016, we have given you the average values, but also for 2018 for EBITDA, core EBIT, and EBIT. However, if we need some other clarifications, we will be able to give you some details. Well, let me tell you that Q1 allows you to understand what the trend in the year is going to be in terms of revenues and margins and margins stability. As to your question about the long-term debt, well, this is a technical factor. We financed the absorption of working capital by drawing the RCF line. That is, we have drawn a long-term funding or credit line. So we haven't opened up new credit line, but we have used the long-term credit line in order to absorb the quarterly working capital.
I got a question about the past of the group that maybe can provide us with some information to interpret the future. You have a 0.8 billion capital that you had invested their own concessions, then you wanted to develop a fund or to set up a fund to dispose of such assets. So what happened in the past 2 years? Theoretically, the Turkish assets that account for almost a half of this 8.8 billion euro invested on concessions, well, are very attractive and so should have been very, again, valuable for you. But this turned not to be the case. So what happened in the past and what may happen in the future to prevent such assets from being attractive going forward? I mean, I think this is interesting to know because we want to understand what went wrong in the past and what might go wrong going forward. Well, thank you very much for your question because this enables us to go back to a very important point. And I believe this requires additional information on my part. So please remember that I've been sitting on the board of directors of Astaldi since 18 months, and the board of directors has clearly committed itself to the asset disposal plan. As I mentioned, we initially considered setting up a fund to dispose of the assets, and then we realized that was not the right tool, and then we decided to proceed with the disposal of assets on a standalone basis. As for the Turkish assets, while we were preparing our disposal plan, Turkey went through some political instability in 2015, and this affected us, of course. But now these times are over. And then, of course, we wanted to complete the construction of these assets to enhance their value because these are high-value assets. As you're going to see, the revenues from operations are very high, so which means that they have become even more attractive of the markets. So, first of all, we had to prepare ourselves and to prepare the assets before disposing of them. And this is not wasted time because, again, this is part and parcel of our plan. And then there are a number of buyers, prospect buyers that are very interested in these assets now. So I'm talking about a very concrete plan, a disposal plan. But if you want more details, because this is a key issue, we also have our president in the room today who can add a few words to explain better how this disposal plan works. If I may answer as well, because Mr. Sinelli only recently joined, and what we had in mind, as you correctly pointed out, was setting up a fund to dispose of these assets. And then we realized that was not the right tool. First, because, as we already pointed out, we realized that retaining these assets and disposing them over time was not an approach that was compatible with the nature of our company. And then we realized that explaining group of investors, the complexity of the Turkish market, especially at a time of political volatility, well, this is something that we could certainly do, but God knows when. So, I mean, the situation was so complex that we were led to reconsider our approach and abandon the idea of setting up a fund and adopt a much more pragmatic approach, if you will. And to supplement what Mr. Sinelli said, this was not wasted time because this enabled us to prepare all the documents that are now necessary for prospect buyers who have to carry out their due diligence. And now, thanks to the fact that all the documents are ready, the bids can, or the offers can be done very quickly. Even binding offers can be done very quickly by the prospect buyers. So I do hope I answered your question. You did. Mapelli, Equita,
I would like to go back to the shareholders' loan issue, just to dispel all doubts. You referred to roughly 240 million capex. Does it include investments on the shareholders' loan? First question. And then the 750 million for the disposal asset, is it capital employed or is it equity for concessions? So the first question is this. And then a follow-up question. What are your assumptions in terms of value? I think you have considered the equity of concessions project as a proxy to understand what the cash in, the amounts cashed in will be. When we referred to concessions, we referred to the capital employed on concessions that include the shareholder's loan and equity contribution. And the assumption behind this plan, disposal plan, is that we have assumed disposal of assets at the book value, but clearly our starting point during negotiations is not at the book value. And then another relevant point, in our plan we have considered, let's say, a reasonable asset disposal plan, considering the expected return on these assets. So we want to have these assets disposed when their return risk mix is attractive, which means that the value of these assets is well above the book value. But we didn't want to consider this in our disposal plan because we wanted it to, first of all, be, again, conservative and very pragmatic, and then disclose the upside when it materializes. A4 Holding, for instance, was the only asset acquired by our group as a brownfield project. We didn't develop the project. We didn't manage the asset. So as far as this asset is concerned, we have considered only the amount invested as expected return. Certainly, there will be some financial charges we will have to bear to cash in the full amount one-off, but this does not apply to all the other assets where we assets that we developed and that we made more attractive over time, because we managed to enhance their value, which means that the return on such assets will be above, of course, the book value. So what we have reported in our plan are just the thresholds that we consider. Consider the capital employed at end 2015 was roughly 800 million. You expect the 750 to be disposed of, so you retain some concessions. Consider there will be a balance of 240. Well, the capital employed that remains, namely 400 million, will refer to the final concession projects that are not part of this disposal plan. And then the other options that we mentioned as investments on concessions that we'll be making if we have the financial capacity available. So this is perfectly consequential and compatible with our disposal plan. As I said, these are just options, however, and we will be pursuing them only if we have the financial resources available.
Banca Imi, just a follow-up question of what you were saying. The capex that we see in the plan, in the concession industry, do they include the gradual disposal that you are assuming, or are these investments that are part of your current concession backlog? So I'd like to understand whether within your disposal assumption there will be a change in investments. And then the optional investments you mentioned, are they new investments which are not currently in your backlog, or is there something which you still have in your backlog but which are at a preliminary stage? Well, thank you. As far as the 133 million euros, this are optional, concessions remain a driver of the strategy plan only if our financial structure would allow us to do that. So we decided that we wanted to indicate this figure, €133 million, to show that we are nonetheless keeping an eye on the concession market. And then Mr. Coucher will give you the details. The cash-in we mentioned are part of the current disposal plan. The evolution I showed you from 2016 to 2018, from 2018 to 2020, are part of the debt reduction efforts we are making inside of our group. Let me tell you that in 2016-2018, we have some commitments for concession projects which are ongoing, and you are seeing it on slide number 19. You see the residual portion up until 2018. Yes, let me confirm you that the investment figures, 239 plus 133 are concessions. In the concession industry, we are going to act as developers. We put forward projects and we have the possibility to dilute them in time should we not have the capability to implement them rapidly or to let them go and then go back to these projects subsequently. As to the committed investments at €239 million, this is the last part of the investments in Turkey. This is a 2015 data and projection for 2016. In the first part of the year, in the first 9 months of the year, we shall tell you something about the investments of the Turkish assets. And then as far as the committed investments are the Ettrick Hospital for the stake that we need to subscribe to. Then we have the Santiago Airport, the Metro 4 here in Milan, which has never been placed within the concession package, so to speak, because it is an abnormal contract. It's not like M5 here in Milan, and then the Chile Hospital. These are all initiatives which are part of our backlog, either actual or potential. As to the Eriksbergsen Hospital, we completed funding last week. It has included in the backlog. As to the Santiago Airport, we believe that funding will be completed within the summer, we hope within June, and will be placed into the backlog, the actual backlog. All of the rest is the gap that we have to fill in, and will help us to make up the 25% of the 3 years that is missing in the starting backlog. Thank you. Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. I have four questions. Now, the first question is about the cash generation from the construction business. I'd like to know your basic assumptions here. Now, the average advance payments within contracts we know is going down, and I'd like to know how you see the advance payments for projects going forward. And then the working capital. Now, a few years ago, the working capital on sales was around 15%. Now we are around 20%. But nonetheless, I always have the idea of cash generation in the construction business, which vis-à-vis the past has always been the missing part, so to speak, in your figures. So how do you assume these €500 million of cash generation in construction business? And then debt, I'd like to know whether 2016 is the year in which debt will reach its highest level, and I believe that you are going to renegotiate the covenants for the RCF credit line. And then another question about debt again. Now, your target is that of reaching a balance, meaning EBITDA debt ratio of 1.52. Now, why do you think this is adequate for the industry in your case? And another question related to this. Now, within the strategy plan period, are you thinking of issuing a convertible bond, should the conditions materialize? And then a question on ECTIC. Is there a possibility to enhance the value of this concession turning into a construction project? Well, perhaps enhancing the value here might not be totally rewarding for you. Now, let me tell you that your usual sequence of questions, and we've known each other for some time, and I was expecting a high number of questions from you. Let me start from the EBIT, and I'd like to go back to the slide that we used before. Not this one. Now, here the issue is refocusing on EPC contracts with multiple elements. This is what we have been doing so far in tenders that we have been awarded or for which we have bid. Now, over the past few years, we have had a few contracts with advanced payments, and you were referring to the working capital, which made us suffer slightly. Now, our strategy plan refocuses our attention on this type of contracts, and we want to kind of overcome the approach of the past. The new contracts that we are looking at are contracts which envisage, first of all, down payments. For instance, here we have the observatory in Chile, the Brennero Tunnel in Chile. We have relationships with Codelco within the mining industry. Other contracts we have there are all associated to advance payments or down payments. And so we have special attention to this type of contracts. This is part of the strategy of our plan. And the consequence of this strategy is the stabilization of margins. When it comes to margins, we have always shown that margins have been stable. Of course, there have been periods where we had to kind of neutralize margins in Canada, which gave us some problems in our net profit, but also at a high level of the P&L. That was a sacrifice that we had to do. But our margins have always been in line with our expectations and our forecasts. We have never had problems, and I have to say we are reassured by the fact that we have seen other international companies. Their level of margins is the same. I think that our refocusing on EPC contracts will help us stabilize margins. And we have here practical factors. We don't have a backlog covering 2016 or 2017. What I say is that I can rely on what we already have in our backlog. And then the ECTIC issue. Well, you are wondering why we have decided to come to the disposal of this concession. It is part of one of the strategic pillars of our strategy plan. Well, we want to disinvest, and we want to actually focus on the construction of big infrastructure works. We want to decrease our debt. These are the main targets, main goals, which also go through the disposals of concession assets. We are not service operators. We do not provide health services. Our business is that of construction. So after the funding has been closed, the project completed, when the works started, we have all the conditions to get rid of the stake we have in the SPV and maintain our stake in the construction. Now, there's a lot of interest in Ethniq, and this is our goal. Now, let me also add something else. There we have a project where we have a 50% stake with a Turkish developer. Now, we closed the funding in July 2015. We defined all of the engineering peculiarities. We defined the timing of the project. And now we have the need to kind of decrease our effort. This is an operating lever on which we can achieve something. We are assuming the entrance of a financial partner because there were too many variables. Here we have a project which is very simple to understand for an investor. The construction risk is on the shoulders, so to speak, of constructors, and we can take upon ourselves this risk because it is our job. Even though this is a greenfield project, we believe it is appealing, and we had some interest in this project. There have been some other projects in Turkish hospitals that have been moving in that direction. We believe that this is one of the evolution that we can follow. We do not believe that we should get out of the project. We want to decrease our 50% stake to make it more compatible with our financial needs. Now, as to the questions about covenants and the ratios, well, it is quite clear that we have credit lines, we have liquidity, and we have the possibility to use credit lines in ordinary manners. Because we had to take care of working capital, we had to resort to our RCF credit line, but this is part of the technicalities of the funding. Let me go back to the covenant terms, which is not directly related to the financial accounts. We are at the eve of a planning period which is similar to the duration of the RCF credit line, but also of other credit lines. And so it may be natural to wonder whether the financial profile in the plan is in line with the elements that kind of fuel or drive the plan, including credit lines. So we are working on this. We set up working groups. But what I wanted to say is that this work started a few months ago. I mean, we haven't realized today that we need to sit down at the negotiation tables. We have started negotiations, and we did so a few months ago. I think there has been some change. We said that we are available to talk. We made ourselves available, the CEO kind of supporting us in person in order to really make sure that the strategy plan is assumed as credible. It is part of what we want to do. And then if debt over EBITDA equal to 2 is too high for our industry, well, let me go back to what I said before, the possibility of reaching a debt level which perhaps might appear to be still too high. But if you look at the financial accounts of the Astaldi Group of past years, you can see that we were penalized in terms of working capital because we didn't have the possibility to use the self-financing sources and advance payments. We had some 600 million euros of down payments that constantly got renewed year after year. And nowadays we went down to 380 million euros. And so this means that if we were to draw up a pro forma calculation, and if we were to normalize it, then let me go back to what you say, which is correct. We have witnessed a decrease in down payments. We already suffered this, and we are kind of building some buffer capital that will help us. This is part of the factors that drive our projects. And from this point of view, I believe that the net of this factor, the cash in the construction industry has been more than positive. The absorption of the net financial position is due to investments that we've made, and now we are speaking of what we shall obtain from these investments. I think that this is the way that you should interpret what we have tried to illustrate to you during this presentation.
So if I may, I would like to ask two questions since I got the microphone now. Well, first of all, a follow-up question about down payments. So the 380 million down payments that you factored in your business is something that you can, rely upon going forward, considering that most of your competitors, as far as I know, expect a drop of down payments because there are some countries that are going through difficult times, are facing problems, in other words. And then my second question, have you considered issuing a convertible bond during the time frame of the plan? Yes, you're right. I forgot about these questions. Well, during the time frame of our strategy plan, but when I say time frame, as already pointed out, we have been working on this already. Anyway, we plan to restore an appropriate level of down payments. I'm referring to the Brennero Tunnel project, the observatory in Chile, the extension of the Chuquicamata project in Chile will naturally restore an appropriate level of down payments. But we are not considering going back to the levels of the past, roughly 600, 700 million of down payments. So in a way, we confirm what our comparable or what our peers say, that we expect a drop in down payments. But consider that we are working in the short term on projects that already and still provide for down payments. This is why we've got these figures. About the convertible bond, well, we already issued a bond that will mature between 2019 and 20, so we do not expect to have additional requirements of this kind going forward. And then, as already pointed out, after strengthening our financial structure, we'll be renegotiating or reschedule our debt, as already announced, to reduce the cost of our debt. And we are currently focusing also to make our rating better, let's say, to improve our rating. So far, this is the type of answer I can provide you with considering our strategy plan.
Good morning, Giuseppe Marcel, Exam, Paris, BNP Paribas, I beg your pardon. So first of all, the percentage of your revenues from constructions in 2015 that was generated by projects where you are partners of the concession. I would like to know what this percentage will look like in 2020. And then, when analyzing markets, have you been supported and validated by independent consultants when you perform your top-down analysis for your strategy plan? Of course, you are knowledgeable about the markets that you operate in, but I wonder whether you resorted to independent advisors as well. And considering the attention you're going to pay to the networking capital going forward, will you be able to disclose the amount of receivables that have been factored without recourse? Will you be able to disclose this amount on a quarterly basis going forward? Well, about your first question, that is to say, revenues from concessions and from constructions. Well, slide number seven shows the evolution of revenues. In 2006, the revenues amounted to 1.1 billion. 96% were generated by the additional contracts. Therefore, EPC contracts coming from traditional tenders, however, where the minimum or the lowest price was the most important point. While in 2015, we have roughly 3 billion of revenues, where 53% comes from EPC contracts from concessions, and this was the split that we had planned to receive. So, and 47% comes from traditional contracts again. When I say traditional, I mean the traditional tenders. If I may ask another question to clarify this point. 53% you mentioned, are these all concessions you are partner of? No, there are other EPC contractors involved, but again, if I may add something to make you understand better. In 2016, we'll be completing the large concession orders, mainly in Turkey. So in 2016 as well, we expect a substantial contribution in terms of revenues generated by such projects. Then, as for our midterm objective, 2018 and following years as well, we'll be replacing these projects with new projects that come from third-party developers or private clients. And one of the best case in point is Russia. In Russia, we haven't invested anything, and we have three contracts nevertheless. They are developed by other developers, that is to say, banks and VINCI in one case. So we are now focusing on different type of clients, no longer public administrations, but rather private developers of projects, both in the highway and in the hydroelectric plant areas. What do we expect for 2020? Well, in terms of revenues generated by constructions related to concessions, we expect only the completion of the projects that are being developed now in 2020, of course, that will be completed in 2020, and then a few projects, mainly in the hydroelectric plant field, let's say. So let's say that investment on concessions enabled us to have access to a new market segment, that is to say, private clients versus the public administration, which enabled us to develop another business line that will progressively absorb the 60% that is accounted for by traditional contracts now and will become EPC contracts. And then your second question, if we understood correctly, I think you referred to the risk assessment that we normally do when we enter new geographies or when we. No. My question was much, much simpler. I asked whether you resorted to independent advisors when analyzing new markets, for instance, McKinsey or other such advisors have supported you, or the top-down assumptions were generated in-house exclusively? Well, we have an internal department devoted to risk management, so they are in charge of risk assessment and risk analysis in the geographies where we operate. We resorted to independent advisors only in specific cases, but again, this top-down analysis is carried out in-house because we have a dedicated structure that is
entrusted with the task of analyzing the risk related to the new markets that we enter. Well, when we enter a new geography, we carry out the risk analysis, relying also on providers. But then when we decided to enter a new geography and start operating there, in the meantime, 2 years have elapsed. So this means that we are already there in the country. We have already created partnerships with local partners, and we have already acquired the necessary know-how. This is what we have always done in the past. So in Turkey, we've been there for 3 decades, but we have been always working with the major Turkish players. But this can be done only if you take all the necessary time to get to know the real risk existing in the country, to get to know the culture there, and so on and so forth. So this is our approach. We have, of course, all the necessary resources and structures in-house to carry out this type of analysis. But then when we need, when we deem it necessary, we can resort to independent advisors as well. And then there was the question about the factoring of our receivables without recourse. Well, we'll be considering this attentively and keep you informed. I don't know whether there are questions online coming from the streaming. I think there are questions. First question from the English conference call. Daniel Vaughan, JP Morgan.
Hello there. Hi. Could I just get a bit of a breakdown on how much of the RCF and the other credit lines that you've used over the first quarter? You've sort of talked a bit about the refinancing. But in the presentation, you actually use the year-end liquidity figures. So it would just be nice to know the sort of magnitude, because I know you've always said in the past you've got a preference of using sort of RCF over cash, and cash has gone down about 23% versus year-end. Could you just give us a bit of color on how much of those lines you've utilized in the first quarter, please?
If I understood your question correctly, is how many credit lines we drew in Q1 versus the liquidity that we mentioned during the presentation. So the RCF line amounted to 500 million, was drawn partially. So 330 million were drawn from this credit line at the end of Q1 2016. As already pointed out, this is absolutely common for our business that is cyclical, as we said. As for free cash flow and for cash absorption, I can tell you that the December figure above 600 million was a peak, an unprecedented peak, I must say, and this amount was the result of the fact that we managed to cash in a lot of receivables in the last part of 2015. We improved our cash in by 150 million versus September last, and we couldn't use these cash-ins to reduce our debt immediately. We did so early this year, and then you see the new trend that was started in Q1 that implies for some cash absorption. I hope I answered your question. Did we answer your question, sir? Yes, all right. There are no more questions. Thank you very much for joining us. I think there will be a cocktail served next door. Thank you.